Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissenberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though. Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds
that tape. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Session 35 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. I don't know why I never worked that into the intro before. But sorry, guys. Hey, we love you. Thank you for having us. So Session 35, I don't know why, but round numbers make it feel like an accomplishment. Like, dude, 35, rock on. But I mean, 35 doesn't mean anything. That's your 35, aren't you?
You're 35 too.
30. We can celebrate me next episode. How about that?
All right. I am 35, yeah. Correct.
All right. Well, man, yo, people got hurt this week.
Yeah, man, it was like, ugly.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to be like, let's talk about the news. All right, but actually, before we do that, on today's episode, I'm very excited about this. This is the most work I've put into an episode so far. I went back and I listened to our hot take, our bold take episodes and the hot take episode. I typed those all out. I did that work for you. Not only did I type those out, I researched how we did. And or if it's possible that what we predicted would actually happen. I really believe I've literally never prepared for one of these episodes before.
Well, you did a nice job with this one. I came in and sat down, and there was this beautifully prepared sheet, show sheet with all this information. It's amazing. Yeah. What has gotten into you?
Just don't tell my boss that I did it when I was at work and everything's fine.
There you go. Well, it's good. Make the day pass, right?
Yeah. All right. So let's, to call it news is depressing, but do the news thing.
Here's the news.
Here's the injury report. I mean, all right. Yeah, right. Let's go down the IR list. Marvin Jones, Andy Dalton, Jeff, I'm told Hyerman is the correct way to say it, and OJ Howard. I believe that's everybody. The thing is, it could be four more people, and I just don't remember because that's how many people got put on the IR this week. It's ridiculous. All right, so let's see what matters in this. Andy Dalton. I put out a tweet saying, with Andy Dalton out, do they just shelf AJ Green? And if they don't, is Jeff Driscoll good enough to actually make AJ Green good enough? Everyone's response has been, chances are, yes, they should shelf him, but that assumes that they are rational, intelligent front offices, and the Bengals have proven most of the times to be otherwise. But if Driscoll does play, I've been told he is serviceable enough to keep AJ Green afloat. Now, this is your division. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I mean, I think Dalton's already been IR'd like for the year, right?
Well, I mean, IR is 8 weeks. So he's done.
So he's definitely done for fantasy purposes.
It's not 20 weeks.
Well, yeah. No, you're right. I was just thinking if he could return for the playoffs, but I mean
if they make it to the Super Bowl, but
they're not. Yeah, they're probably not even making the playoffs. So.
Exactly. So
yeah. I think that was the right move, putting him on our IR. I don't think the Bengals were going anywhere this season anyways. And honestly, I think it would be very good for their franchise if they tanked. Not on purpose, but they need to get rid of Lewis. There's no reason that guy has that job anymore. I mean, it's fine with me. Again, I'm used to the Steelers whooping up on the Bengals. The Bungles. So for me, I enjoy Marvin Lewis being there because he just continues to
mediocre.
Allow Pittsburgh to steamroll. Yeah. So, I don't think fantasy wise, I think this impacts, it could have an impact on a couple of guys. One is Green. Although I do believe Driscoll can probably do well enough to, keep Green relevant if he's around. I mean, the other thing with him is he's banged up with that toe or foot injury. So, I mean, you know, who knows when he's going to return, or if he's going to be effective when he returns. And then the other guy for me is Joe Mixon. And I think we talked about on a previous episode about how teams with AJ Green out may shift their attention more, you know, towards stopping the run there. And I think that that is definitely, they're going to want Driscoll to beat them, not Mixon in the running game. So I think that's probably the biggest implication as far as the Dalton injury goes.
All right. So I have AJ Green in Trade Addicts 2, and I am going to make the playoffs, and I am terrified. Should I be trading him away, or?
It depends what you can get in return. I think, you know, I think if you can get decent value for a player that can help you win here in the playoffs, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't give him away for dirt, you know.
Would you be willing to trust him to put him in your playoff team's lineup?
I honestly don't know. If he comes back and plays, yeah. But I don't think, you know, I just don't know. They may shut him down, too.
That's what I'm thinking is going to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a good idea if you're, you know, if you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, Green's 30 years old. He's still a great receiver when he's out there and produces at a really high level. But I'm probably going to entertain moving him after the year. Like, if you've thought that at any point during this season, I think you definitely try to move him now. You know, and get something that can help you here. You know, if you're in a position to compete. And if you're not in a position to compete, you know, if you can, again, if you can get decent value before they shut him down, you know, I would consider doing that.
So if you're listening, Trade Addicts too, if you want to give me some, what, top 20 ish fantasy asset, dynasty asset, and that's kind of fair value with a hurt player.
I would like probably, AJ? Yeah. I mean, it just depends. I mean, it depends on how people see him moving forward. I would take a little bit less than that if it's a player I liked and thought could climb into that range eventually.
All right. If anybody has, whoever has Corey Davis plus, hit me up.
I don't know that you'd get that at this point. I don't know. I mean, you probably should be able to get it straight up, but I doubt you'd be able to with most people and the emphasis that most people put on age in Dynasty. But yeah, I mean, if you could get decent value, I would say like top, you know, 30 value, top 35, maybe, depending on the player, I'd be willing to do that.
Like, I'd see that in my inbox and be scared. I don't know if I'd be able to do it, but we'll see who listens to this and see if I get any offers. All right, let's move on. Marvin Jones, Galladay's still going to be getting those targets for the rest of the season. Whether he can beat the first corner on a team, who the hell cares, because he's going to get 15 targets a game, which is going to probably turn into at least 8 catches, which is going to turn into at least 100 yards, which is going to most likely be a touchdown. So, you know, you're welcome, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think Galladay's going to continue to get a humongous target share there, especially now with Jones out. So,
yeah, buying him is impossible. Selling him, there's no point in doing it right now. I think even if you're rebuilding, you want him. If you're competing, you need him. So let's move on. Jeff Heirman. Apparently, there's a guy with the last name Lacoste that is a tight end on Denver that people are picking up. I'm just going to stay away from all of that. OJ Howard. If you don't have Brate by now, it's too late. In a competing one tight end league, I sent a 2020 second for Cameron Brate because I had Jimmy Graham and I, with the broken hand, I don't know how he's playing. Besides the fact he had 2 catches last game, I didn't trust that. So a future second for Cameron Brate, I think is on point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he is a guy, especially if you're a contender and you need a little boost at tight end or you need some depth. I actually made a trade for Brate this past week as well. I forgot about it when we were talking before the show, but I moved a 2019 third for him.
Oh, easy.
Yeah. So a future second, you know, I mean, that's fine. I would be fine with that too. I mean, I think especially for the rest of this season, I think Brate has some, you know, has some upside, especially if Jameis is the quarterback. Yeah. And it looks like he's going to be for the remainder of the season, hopefully, anyway.
And there's always the chance that Jameis gets let go, and Brait can also get let go for, I'm pretty sure, if not zero, very close to zero money. So if they go somewhere together, you still have at least a high-end tight end two, which we've seen in seasons like this, that could turn into a high tight end one because of how crap tight ends are.
Yeah.
So Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's sprain has a grade 2 MCL sprain, is out 2 to 4 weeks. This is the same injury that OJ Howard and Joe Mixon had. OJ Howard missed 1 week, which is bye week, so good for him and his owners. Joe Mixon missed 2, came back, and he was pretty much okay to play that next game. So hopefully you get your first week bye in the playoffs, because if you have Melvin Gordon, chances are you made it to the playoffs. And I would, the second he's healthy and playing, I play him.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, this sucks if you're a Gordon owner. Yes.
Hopefully you have Eckler.
Yeah, hopefully you have Eckler. And if you don't, you know, it's a huge loss. It really is. I mean, this guy's producing at an unbelievable rate this year. His floor especially is so low, or I mean, so high. You know, and he's been just having monster games most weeks. So, you know, long term, this doesn't do anything to Gordon. I mean, MCLs are nothing. If he tore his ACL, then we'd, you know, that sucks. That would impact his value moving forward. This injury doesn't do that, at least in my opinion, whatsoever. But it definitely stinks for people that are competing and have been relying heavily on him. If you're fighting for a bye and haven't locked it up yet, you know, you might be in trouble there, especially if you don't have Eckler backing him up. But, you know, hopefully he can return quickly like those other two guys did. I know the OJ Howard one, it was originally 4 weeks and he returned after 2. Now, like you said, he did get lucky with the bye in there. But, you know, hopefully Gordon is able to return quickly. And I also, I'm with you. I have no reservations. If they clear him and he's playing, he's in my lineup. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and, you know, besides the fact that he's a major player, the reason I put this in here was so we can pretty much say don't panic. Don't sell him for... I mean, it doesn't even matter if it's someone in the same tier. He's going to come back and he's going to ball. If it's redraft, maybe. But in Dynasty, you can't sell someone because of a 2-week injury. It's just, that's not how this works.
Right.
So I said at the beginning that this is our recap of the hot takes, bold takes episodes. But before we get there, it is outhouse rant time. All right.
Rant time!
Rant time! Okay. That was weird. All right. So I have written on here, Russ rant about asking for trades and trade pulls. Let me break this down for you. If you say, hey, guys, who wants a tight end? Or, hey, guys, I need a tight end. And someone says, me. You send that person an offer. That's just sort of how it works. If you ask for a trade, be willing to send a trade. Don't say, hey, I need a tight end. Who wants to give me a tight end? Okay, you know, what tight end do you want to give me? You know, send me something for that tight end. No, you send them something for the tight end you're asking for. That's just the way it works. There's no reason for this person to send you something because you're looking for it. Yeah, okay, maybe that'll get a deal done because you know this person's looking for it. But if you're initiating this, you send the first offer. It's courtesy. It's etiquette. It's the right thing to do. It's not being a jerk. It's not tough. Also, if you ask for trades, respond. If you say, all right, guys, I need a tight end, send me offers, answer them. Even if you're going to wait for multiple offers to come in, if you think they are, so you don't want to accept or reject anything right away, let the person know you're at least even thinking about it. If you say, hey, guys, I want a quarterback, and I send you an offer for a quarterback, and it just sits there, I mean, I'm probably cursing your name, probably to other people in the league behind your back, just putting it out there. And
Russ does not do that. for the record. I mean, he may do it under his breath.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't do it.
I'm in him with.
I don't do it so other, like, I don't want people to, like, copy and paste, hey, look what Russ said about you. So I definitely just, like, and shake my fist while I'm doing it like a cartoon character. And trade polls. Now, this has absolutely nothing to do with trade polls themselves. It's responding to trade polls. There's been a lot lately where if something is a bad trade or someone's asking a question like, oh, for a league mate, what do you think about this? And it's Michael Thomas for something stupid. The responses are like, LOL, or this can't be a question, or if you think this is a good deal, you shouldn't be playing Dynasty. Shut up, man. Like, who do you think you are to say stuff like that? First of all, half the time, those are trying to prove something polls, which I think we need like shorthand for, like something to prove, you know, show that this isn't real. This is something stupid you got offered or an argument you're having. But also, it's just like, if you're legitimate word for word, if you think this is a good idea, you shouldn't be playing Dynasty. Man, you shouldn't be playing Dynasty. You're going to be such a jerk about it. Like, I don't know why. Like, I don't know if that's right for me to get set off as much as I have been about it, or I honestly don't even care. I mean, this game is for fun. Twitter is for fun, even though it gets dark at times. But the point of social media is mostly for fun. And to just come out and be an idiot when someone's asking for help is just really
grind your gears.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something better than that. Like, I can't think of anything, though. I have to look up horribly idioms that mean make me angry, but I'm not going to do that now. So it makes me angry.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and for me that boils down to what we say on this show all the time. Just don't be a jerk. Like,
don't be a jerk.
Think of the way, you know, before you speak. It's the same concept as when you have face-to-face interaction with somebody. Think before you talk. Think before you type. You know, I mean, if it would make you feel like crap if someone typed that about you or about a trade you were involved in or whatever, just don't do it. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the problem. And we're not going to get into a big philosophical conversation about the world today, but I mean, you have places like you have sites, and I'm not going to name sites either, but you have places on the internet where this type of behavior and this type of treating people this way, it's a thing. There's like people out there that do this for their job and make it a thing. And there's 50 million people that subscribe or follow the site. So, I mean, you're really doing yourself a disservice, because at the end of the day, like you said, this is a game that we play for fun. And if you're in it for more than fun, if you're in high stakes leagues, whatever, that's fine. Then you don't need, if you're in high stakes leagues, then good for you. Have fun. That's wonderful. But most of us are out here playing this game for fun. We're trying to win because we love the game and we want to win. That's why you play. You play to win the game. But at the same time, you know, I don't have to win leagues to have a good time playing, you know, and win every trade. God forbid. I mean, geez, man, people, if you had to win every trade that you were involved in to win or to be happy and satisfied, then you're in a tough place, you know. So I don't know. It just comes back around to don't be a jerk. Just don't be a jerk.
No need for it. All right. Well, yeah. I don't feel better, but I'm glad I said it out.
Now you got me fired up.
Good. Let's get fired up for our fiery bold takes. Yeah. Transition. Okay. Yeah. The way we did this, if you weren't listening back then, which, why haven't you listened all the way back to the beginning from the beginning? What's why? Come on. What? Are we not good enough? Please. No. Work it. Please like us. Say,
please.
Please. Okay. We did. How did we do this? All right. So what we did was by division, north, south, east, west, and both conferences. And we had a different guest on each time. I feel like what we're probably going to do, which we haven't really figured out a good way to go through this, I think we're just going to read straight down, person by person, talk about what we feel like needs to be talked about, make fun of each other for what we feel like needs to be made fun of.
Which is going to be a lot of.
It is, yeah, this is, a lot of this is not pretty. These were bold takes for a reason. And my hot takes, I did not get one of them right. I'll just put it out there. Spoiler alert. So let's start from the beginning. We did, this is the East. We had Michael Zingoni. I probably should have wrote down everyone's Twitter handles. I'm pretty sure he's at FF Zinger.
Correct.
Nice. All right. So he had, for the Jets, Jermaine Kearse will be a top 50 PPR wide receiver. As of right now, wide receiver 80. So probably not going to happen.
No, I don't think that one's going to happen.
For the Bills, Charles Clay will be a top 10 tight end if healthy. He is tight end 40. Is he healthy? He's healthy, right?
I probably yeah.
shouldn't have looked at that. Like, I mean, the Bills are a dumpster fire of whatever, but I really thought he was going to get targets because your Bills take was completely wrong also because we'll get
to that later.
Dolphins, Kenny Stills will be a top 24 wide receiver, which I loved because I loved me some Kenny Stills before this season, but that did not go as planned because of Dolphins. Wide receiver 69. Nice. All right. This was my favorite because you guys had a little bit of arguing on this one for the Patriots. So Michael said Sony Michel would not lead the Patriots in any specific category. And you said that Sony Michel would be the undisputed number one running back in New England. Who do you think won that one?
Me.
Sony Michel leads the Patriots in carries, rushing yards, rushing touchdowns, yard per attempt, and yards per game.
Woohoo!
I'm pretty sure that's every rushing stat. So, sorry, Michael. Swing and a miss. New York
Giants. Yeah, we're for the record, and we did say this when we started too here, but like we got most of these wrong. So, this is just fun. I mean, and the people that know us that have come on the show know how we are and what we do. So, you know, this is fun jabs. This isn't calling people out on things that they miss because literally, I think you and I might have hit on two or three out of 32. Yeah. So
we're going to get to Stompy and you're going to be annoyed that he got just about all of his right.
Of course I am. Of course Stompy gets them all right. Jesus, man. Stompy. Who invited that guy on the show anyways? Himself, he did.
That was the second time he legitimately invited himself on. The first time he did ask. Be fair. All right. Maybe what we should do is do us first before we do the guest, because now it does seem like we're ragging on the guest. Especially because here, next for the New York Giants, Eli Manning will be outside of the top 24 quarterbacks. And you said Eli will be a top 15 quarterback. Well, you sort of split the middle of that one because he's QB 17. So neither of you were right, but you were kind of closer. So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. It could go either way. He could fall out or he could jump up.
Yeah, I was too lazy to look up the rest of their schedule, but he's been doing pretty well. So I doubt he goes much lower, especially with all of the quarterback injuries. And
right.
Well, I mean,
and that's helped too.
Yeah, for sure. I got points per game in a couple of them when it seems like it mattered, but not for this one. For the Redskins, Paul Richardson would be the highest scoring wide receiver on the Redskins. That is incorrect. Josh Doctson is wide receiver 76, and that's the highest wide receiver on the Redskins.
Wow.
I'm so sad about Jameson Crowder.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
All right, this should have been on the hot take episode. Nelson Agholor will be a top four startup pick in 2019. He is currently the wide receiver 54, and I don't see him making up to an ADP of 54, even if he catches six touchdowns a game for the rest of the season, so... Okay, maybe he would if he caught six touchdowns every game for the rest of the season, but, you know, not going to happen. All right.
Wait a minute. Was that top four? That was top four round startup pick, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My bad. Not top four.
That's okay. I'm just making sure because if he said top four startup pick, like top four, I'd have called him out for being high while he was on the air.
I was about to say, I'd invite him on the show right now to just say, ask him what he was smoking or inhaling. All right, this next one is a little bit of fun because he said no Cowboys wide receiver would have finished within the top 50 fantasy wide receivers. Do we count Amari Cooper? Because he is wide receiver 30 right now.
No, because at the time he wasn't a Cowboy.
Right. So I checked.
He's correct on that one. I don't think...
Yeah, Hearns is in the 90s and Gallup, I think, is in the 70s. Again, I didn't think it was important enough to write down.
And Beasley can't. I can't imagine Beasley's in the top 50.
I forgot Beasley actually existed. So we'll
He's. I don't think he's up there either. So,
all right. So let's get to you, Brian.
Oh yeah, this is ugly.
For the yeah. You read.
Yeah. So mine. So I had for the Jets, Isaiah Crowell would run for 1,000 yards, which. That's not happening unless he has a couple humongous games.
He would have to have over 100 yards a game for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So it's very unlikely.
Oh, wait, no. I'm going through week 16 because I care about fantasy football. If we're going week 17, it's a little under 100 yards a game.
Yeah. Well, the only hope I have is if he has another game where he runs for, like he ran for 200, I think, against the maybe the Dolphins, maybe the Broncos. Was it the Broncos? Yeah. So you know, that's really the only chance he has, and I don't anticipate him getting there.
All right, hold on. Let's do the next one. This is one of my
next
favorites.
One is the worst. This is the worst possible one I could have ever done. So
yeah, I love it.
This was for the Bills. Kelvin Benjamin will score double digit touchdowns. He has one touch. Does he even have double digit catches? I mean, it's been that type of year up there, so I don't even know.
One touchdown. He has one touchdown.
Just disgusting. So.
Oh, my God, the Bills, they're so bad.
This whole episode is like a make amends. I mean, at least it is bold and hot take, so, you know, they're supposed to not really happen, but.
I don't know if I expected us to get a decent amount of these right or if I expected us to get this much wrong, but I had so much fun looking these up. I have to put it out there. Keep going.
Yeah, so for the Dolphins, I had Ryan Tannehill throwing for 4,200 yards and 25 touchdowns. Now he's been injured. Probably wasn't going to hit those numbers anyways, but...
I gave you the benefit of the doubt and just wrote down injured.
Yeah, but the injury, obviously, he won't be finishing with those numbers. And then I got lucky with the Patriots one, Sony, the undisputed number one running back in New England. Now... I saw what you put here, and you are right. Technically speaking, you can make an argument that James White is the RB1, you know, from a fantasy points perspective in New England, because he catches so many passes out of the backfield.
Well, I mean, I assumed when you said this, you meant real football. You didn't mean fantasy. That's why I gave you that little bit of correctness, because they wouldn't use a bell cow even if they had Todd Gurley on their team. I feel like James White would still have a role. So. Pretty much you're as right as you can be because of Patriots.
Yeah, the other thing that happened here that definitely helped me in this argument was Burkhead going out. Returning this week. So it's going to be interesting to see how he mixes in now into that rotation. You know, I think they found what they expected to find with Sony when they drafted him in the first round. But, you know, but we'll see how Rex Burkhead, you know, him returning, we'll see how he... is integrated back into that offense.
All right, hold on. I want to put you on the spot. And because we sort of talked about him, James White has been kind of crappy the past 2 weeks. Do you think he's going to stay at his 9 points per game, or do you think he still has that ceiling? Because I have him in playoff teams and I am freaking out about it.
So it really just depends. I watching that offense over the last number of weeks, it looks to me like they're shifting philosophies to a running offense. I mean, yes, they're still going to throw short to Edelman. Yes, they're still going to throw to Gronk occasionally. Probably not in the red zone, although he did catch a touchdown. He did, but that's only his second one of the year. And I think he'd only been targeted before his injury like two or three times in the red zone. So
yeah, that was ugly.
Thank goodness he did that this week.
That's foreshadowing about how bad one of my bull takes was.
You know, but I mean, Michelle's carrying the ball 20 plus times every game, and more times than not, he's up around 100 yards rushing and usually a touchdown, sometimes two. You know, if he can stay healthy, that's the other thing about him. He keeps getting banged up in games. Yeah, now
those knees were always an issue.
Right. And he did return this week again. He got bent back real awkwardly. I saw that live. It looked pretty bad. But he got right back in there, you know, and had a really strong game. So, yeah, I mean, I think White will still be relevant. I don't think you're going to get the 25-plus fantasy point games you got earlier in the season from him often, unless they're in shootout games. And I don't think they want to be in shootout games anymore. I really don't. I think their philosophy's changing a little bit, and they want to run the football and you know, and make their big plays in the passing game off play action. So,
all right. Yeah, I'm still worried. I was hoping you'd tell me everything was fine, but I get it. You're not that nice.
Everything is fine. With awesome. Everything's on fire around.
Oh, man. I was going for the Lego movie, not for...
what's that GIF? 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 How do you do the GIF? GIF? That's what I say, too.
All right. Just tell us anyway. How Alex Smith was going to finish as a QB1.
Yeah, so Alex Smith was going to finish as a top 12 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And then his leg snapped. That's the only reason.
He was
going to have like 500 yards passing in each of the last three games and surprise everybody.
Mm-hmm.
No, not really. This is another bad one. Alex Smith is who we thought he was. Mm-hmm. And because of his season last year in Kansas City, we let him off the hook. When he has to carry an offense, it's not pretty.
Yeah.
So as good as his season was last season in KC, this season he was okay, but he wasn't half the quarterback he was in Kansas City last season. And obviously really tough situation there. I was going to say tough break. Mm-hmm. That would have been bad. Really tough situation there with the leg injury that he suffered. Pretty gruesome. They are optimistic, I guess, that he's going to come back and play again at some point. Obviously not this season, but hopefully he can continue his career. But boy, that was nasty.
Yeah.
So we already talked about Eli. I had Eli as a top 15 quarterback. He's currently the quarterback 17, so not too far off. But again, I think he's got a chance at it. It could go either way. You know, if he has a couple bad turnovers or something, that he could stay down there. But so we'll see with that one. For the Eagles, I had Alshon Jeffrey being borderline elite. He's averaging 13.7 points per game, so he's wide receiver 27. So that's not really elite.
To be fair, last year, 14 points per game would have been at least top 20. I think it was top 15 even. Oh. Like that's how different wide receiver scoring is this year.
Yeah.
I double checked because I remember we on the episode with Travis, the hot takes, he talks about Alshon Jeffrey on how when healthy, Alshon and Wentz played together and were on the same page, those last like four-ish games of the season, he was averaging 17 points per game, and that would have made him like a top six wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, I don't think we can call him borderline elite based on what he's done this year, but probably not as bad as it seems either. Being outside, being a wide receiver three, essentially, for fantasy purposes at this point. Depending on how they finish the year, he could jump up there as, you know, into the top 24 or so. And that's not too bad. So, borderline elite, I was thinking, I think when I said this, more like top 10.
Yeah. And I was with you with that. I've been all in on Alshon ever since he came back, and it looked good for a little bit. It does not look good anymore. That offense doesn't look good anymore. So no. I won't put it all on Alshon because Wentz looks not shaken, but lost a little bit. It's weird to watch. That's the only thing I could really say.
Frank Wright, man.
Yeah, I hope they get their stuff together because they're a fun offense to watch. And I think I want the Rams to win because I like what they're doing and I like their players, but it's just weird to say I want a team in division that I like to win.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's get the Eagles back to the NFC championship.
Hey, Saints are in there too, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Go Saints. Who day?
There you go.
Who dat? Who day?
Who day?
That's the Bengals.
Who day? Who day think going to beat them Bengals? Pittsburgh, I'll tell you. That's who.
Just anyway. About everybody these days.
Yeah, right. Anyways, And then the Cowboys, I had Dak as the lowest fantasy quarterback in the division, in the East there. He's currently the QB 15, so he's ahead of Eli, at least, which makes me wrong on this one, too.
And, you know, Alex Smith and Colt McCoy. And, well, Colt McCoy put up like 30 points last game somehow. So, yeah. I mean.
So he's not fourth in the division.
He is not fourth in the division. That, yeah. Swing and a miss.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you were wrong. Let's go see how I was wrong. Oh, man. I have a good one in here. But first, the Jets will have no players drafted in the top 100 in Superflex leagues. I can't find Superflex ADP. On DLF, their Superflex ADP hasn't been updated since August.
So I'm not sure what's going on there either. I will have to look into that a little bit because I was involved in those mocks early in the season, like around August. And then, I haven't been a part. I'm not sure what's going on there. I have to check that out.
So I did the best I could in one QB, none of them.
Mm.
I don't really know if I could say if Darnold would be, because that was really the only one we thought would ever crack the 100, which I'm sure he would because he's a young quarterback, but he's still not doing great. And now that he's been hurt for two games, who knows what that does to his ADP. So I'm not taking this as a complete loss. I'm going to say I'm right enough. The Bills are going to have the first pick in the NFL draft. As of now, they're ninth, which, how do the Bills win games? How do they magically beat the Titans 34-0 or whatever it was?
Josh Allen, baby. Woo! Just kidding. I don't know how people go up there to Orchard Park and lose their minds. And
yeah,
so like, it's cold and snowy. And
it's a trap game every game. No one thinks they can actually try.
Yeah, Ralph Wilson's ghost comes down and causes a turnover. And I don't know. I love Buffalo, though, man. Those fans up there are awesome.
There's something. All right. All right. So here, hold on. This is one of my favorite ones. For the Dolphins, Mike Gesicki is going to be a top 8 tight end. And that will put him into the top 10 dynasty tight ends. Tell the people what tight end he is right now in scoring.
He's a tight end 42.
Yeah, that's not close. That is the ultimate answer to life, the universe, and everything. But it is not the answer to my bold take being correct. It is very, very wrong. Oh, man. Like, we just thought he was going to get volume, right? Like, who else is there to throw to? Apparently, there just doesn't matter. They don't need someone to throw to because they're just going to lose anyway.
Yeah. I think it's hard to depend on rookie tight ends. I think Gesicki is talented enough that he could grow into that player.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I just think it's going to take him a little bit more time than one season, obviously.
Having a functioning offense, hopefully.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. So here's my next one for the Patriots. Rob Gronkowski will play all 16 games. Nope. And break the touchdown record. Nope. And then retire. I mean, probably. I mean, it looks that way.
I hope not. I hope he doesn't. I love watching him play.
He doesn't look right. And there was a couple of, I've heard multiple, I don't know if it's multiple ex-players say it, or multiple people are saying that the same ex-player said it, that they have horrible back problems from playing football, and Gronk walks like they do. Mm-hmm. And we know Gronk does have those back issues. And he seems like a smart dude, so you would think he would get out before he was completely disabled.
Yeah, you know what's funny about Gronk? He it's funny you said that. He seems like a smart dude.
Well, no, he doesn't is a really, smart dude.
Right, so he doesn't really seem like a smart dude, like when you're, like, he's a meathead.
Yes.
But he's really intelligent, too. Like, he, obviously to do the things he does on a football field, and then, you know, I read something on him where he hasn't spent a dime of his salaried money. He's been living off all of his endorsement deals and stuff. Yep. You know, how many stories are there, horror stories out there of athletes who end up spending their money and going bankrupt, or, you know, and Gronk's out here just saving all of that money, all of the money from his contracts, and just living off the endorsement deals. So good on him. I mean, that's tip of the hat to him for that. But But yeah, I the other thing that I've heard is that he's tied to Tom Brady, that he doesn't want to play with another quarterback. So
there was a report that he said that, but
yeah. Right. So I mean, you know, I mean, we figure he can't have too many years left. So at best, you're talking probably one or two seasons with Gronk, if that's true, if that report is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and at worst, it could be after this year.
Yeah. All right. So New York Giants, Evan Engram will be outside of the top 10 tight ends.
Nailed it. Yeah, you definitely nailed that one.
Tight end 24 at the moment.
And he hasn't even been that good when he's been in there.
Yeah, he hasn't really done anything. I think he had one good game this year. Oh, man. This next one.
Yeah.
I didn't even really necessarily believe this when I typed it. I just needed to piss you off a little bit, that show.
You did a good job, that show.
Oh, I did. My Redskins take was that Darius Geis was going to outscore Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
And I just typed womp, womp next to that take because didn't even make it to the season. Next year, I tell you. No.
So I'll tell you what. When you wrote this down, yes, it did irritate me because of my Saquon love. But I will say I am so excited to watch Darius Geis play next year. Yeah. That kid is an infectious personality in a good way. I mean, do you follow him on Twitter? If you don't follow him on Twitter, you need to follow him. He's a good kid, or he seems like a really good kid, and he has an enthusiasm for life that shows through stuff. His, you know, if you watch YouTube videos of him, if you, you know, read about the things that he posts online and stuff, I'm really excited for this kid. I'm excited to see him play next year. I hope Washington utilizes him, you know, in a manner that I think they should, and really gives him the opportunity to take that role. I'm very excited about Darius Geis. I really am. But he did not outscore Baquon.
He did not outscore Baquon.
And at this point,
I don't think he will.
Stop. Yeah, no, I don't think he will either. But can we please stop trying to make any, I mean, there are still people out there that are comparing Philip Lindsay and saying he's a better running back than Saquon Barkley. And that drives me nuts. Like that stuff, people try to find anything to either tear a kid down or to, you know, if they said Barkley wasn't as good as advertised, right, because of all the hype, because he was hyped. I mean, he was unbelievably hyped. There were people, hell, I took him in at the 101 in multiple startup drafts this year. And people thought I was, first of all, people thought I was crazy.
Take 101, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And second of all, you know, people, that hype drove people to find bad things about his game. Okay. What I've watched over the first 11 or 12 games this season is the super talented kid, one of the most talented we've seen coming into the league physically, right?
Mm-hmm.
He comes into the league. I've started seeing, you know, all those runs that he never made, right? Oh, he bounces it outside too much. He still bounces it outside. And guess what? A lot of the times when he bounces it outside, he takes it 70 yards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he's starting to also learn when not to do that. So he's not taking the 2 and 3 yard losses and he's getting 2 and 3 yards instead. And that's the thing that people outside of, you know, and look, I'm really, really not trying to sit on a high horse or give myself any type of credit. It's not that. I'm giving this kid credit. He wants to learn and he wants to be great at his craft. So he listens. I don't know if you saw it, but they had him mic'd up for a game, or I don't know if they had him or if they had Eli mic'd up. And Barkley missed a blocking assignment. This was like in week 8 or something like that. 9, maybe. He missed a blocking assignment and Eli got crushed. Like, totally, because Saquon missed the block. Barkley turned, walked straight to Eli, apologized, told him it wouldn't happen again. Now, obviously, it's going to happen again because this is the NFL and people miss blocks. So, you know, but the kid cares about the game and he cares about being a great player. And he's going to do everything within his power to try to make sure he's one of the best. So that's my Baquan rant, I guess. I kind of went a little long on that one, but that's okay. It's been several weeks since I've done it. So, but yeah, no, Geist did not outscore.
No,
this year. He didn't have an opportunity to, unfortunately, because I would have liked to see what he could have done this year as well.
Moving on.
Boy, it's hard to move on from Baquan. It's
there's no moving on
but
from
we
Baquan,
must. But
yes,
we must.
We will move on. the Eagles, Carson Wentz will be the league MVP. Nope. The Cowboys, Zeke will be the dynasty running back one. I liked this one. I thought I had a chance with this one. He got off to a slow start, but right now he is the running back four in scoring. Oh, no, that's a lie. I didn't check scoring. He, in the November ADP, is seventh overall and is the running back four, which is kind of almost exactly where he was last year. So while I wasn't right, I wasn't the opposite of right.
So it depends too. If it depends on what you're talking about, because he is the leading rusher right now in the NFL.
No, I said dynasty, like he would be the ADP running back one.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so I was wrong. That's fine. But,
okay.
You know,
okay. Well, he is leading the league in rushing. He's got 31 more yards than Todd Gurley on seven more carries.
Didn't really know that. Good for him. That is the East of the AFC and NFC.
By the way, just take a wild guess at who the top three are. It's Zeke is one.
Well, you said Gurley.
Yeah, this is rushing yardage. Yeah, Gurley second. Yep.
Gordon?
Mm-mm. Don't blow your mind.
I mean, it's not Kamara. Who is it?
Nope. James Conner.
Oh, good for that kid. I guess that makes sense. There's no reason. Maybe he's had some bad games, which makes it even more kind of amazing that he is the third leading rusher.
Yeah, that's wild. I didn't realize that either until I looked.
It's funny. I checked this, and he has 500 receiving yards. I checked because you had a bold take about receiving with the Steelers. So I checked to see who has how many yards.
Yep.
And we'll talk about James Conner when we get there. But right now, we're going to talk about the West, AFC and NFC, and our guest was Sir Stompy himself. And, yeah, you know, we're just going to go down the list. His Broncos, he said he would have two top 24 wide receivers. This did not end up happening. Even if Demaryius Thomas was still on the team, you wouldn't have had it. But Manny Sanders is wide receiver 12, so he is half correct.
Yep. Something. Yeah, Sanders had a good year.
Yeah, he slowed down for a little bit, but then had a good game last week, which is good because I traded for him in one of my competing teams. That's another guy. We're going to talk about it later, actually. Trade Addicts 4 trade. Go trade for Manny Sanders if you're competing, and the guy who has him isn't. We'll get to the price later. For the Chargers, Terrell Williams will be a top 24 wide receiver, and Mike Williams will be outside the top 36. Again, he was half right. Tyrell Williams is wide receiver 43. Mike Williams is wide receiver 47. They are, and there is only 1.3 points between them. So there are four people that have 1.3 points in between those two guys. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty wild.
And I'm a big Tyrell Williams fan, and I want him to go somewhere and be awesome. I have a lot of shares of him. I've been buying him almost everywhere where I'm not competing. Like, he's always my throw-in guy right now.
Yeah, I like him too, moving forward.
And from the beginning, Stompy has claimed this. We always say, never say you were right about Patrick Mahomes unless you claimed he was going to be the next coming. Stompy's Chiefs take was Mahomes is going to be a top five. I put WB, which is a combination of wide receiver and quarterback. So he's a wide back.
A wombat?
Ooh, wombats. Those are adorable. So yeah, he's the QB1 by 4.4 points per game and by 49.5 points total. Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah, he's really good.
Yes, yeah, so good on Stompy. But he also said for the Raiders that Ryan Switzer was going to be fantasy relevant, and that's a big old nope.
Yeah, he definitely has not been fantasy relevant for the Raiders.
Yep, so let's jump up to the NFC for the Seahawks. Nick Vinette will be a top 12 tight end. He is tight end 28. That was a pipe dream, a little. That was a hope of volume, because who else was going to catch the ball? And it turns out they're just going to throw eight times a game and score two touchdowns on those eight passes.
Mm-hmm.
For the 49ers, Matt Breida will be a top 24 running back. And he's running back 20 right now, and that's with the amount of times he's gotten hurt and played hurt. Matt Breida is good.
He is good. He is good. And yeah, he is good. And I think it was Andrew mm-hmm. was on Twitter yesterday or today. I'm not sure what day it was, but he had asked if we thought, and I know we can get into this later too when we're talking about the trades, but he was asking about Jerick McKinnon in San Francisco, and do we think that Matt Breida is going to go away? And the answer to that is no.
No, absolutely not. I mean, Kyle Shanahan already came out and said he's dreaming of ways to get them both in the backfield at the same time.
Yeah.
And if they don't improve their wide receiving core, they're going to need those guys out in the back, both of them in the backfield, to start catching balls.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I am not afraid of either of those running backs. I love both of those running backs for the future. I think those are both buys, because they're probably crazy cheap, and you'll see how cheap I got McKinnon later. That's nice. Just thinking about it. And here's another thing Stompy was ridiculously right about. He has been a very big Robert Woods fan, and he said that Robert Woods was going to break 1,000 yards. We just finished week 12, and Robert Woods has 904 yards. So safe to say that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So good on Stompy.
Good.
His last good take. Stompy. Yeah, good on Stompy. His last take was that for the Cardinals, David Johnson was going to be the running back one. And with his terrible start, he's the running back 10. So that's good. I mean, clearly, I doubt he catches up to running back one, because he did say the running back one.
Mm-hmm.
But running back 10, when he had to deal with Mike McCoy, I think is still an accomplishment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he, you know, those first couple of weeks were ugly. Well, his first week was good, but the other two after that were not good. And you know, just yeah, I'm happy DJ's finally cut loose. The problem that they have is they're never playing
control game script.
Right. They can't control game script. I mean, they're behind every week. So, you know, he's if they ever get out ahead, I mean, DJ can be DJ. But you know, it's tough right now, because he's still putting up solid fantasy numbers, but he's not putting up those elite numbers that we're used to from him. So,
but Brian did try and buy him from me in Trade Addicts 3. So
I did. Yep, I did.
So still worth it to go look out for the buy, especially if you're competing. People are, especially in redraft, if your trade deadlines didn't pass already, which it probably did at this point. But still, DJ is a good guy that people won't value as much as he really should be valued, because at any given moment, he could go back to 25 points per game, just because that's the kind of player he is. That's the offense they're going to get better at running. Yeah. So I say I'm still all in on DJ.
Yep.
All right. So why don't you hit us up with your takes for the West?
Yeah. So my takes for the West start with the Broncos. And I had that Case Keenum would have more fantasy points than Kirk Cousins. He would get an extension and become Denver's third all-time leading passer behind John Elway and Peyton Manning.
Now, I did not look up any stats for this one. I literally, in all capital letters, just typed ha ha ha. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 times.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss.
Yep. Swing and a miss. Hey, I was swinging for the fences for that one, though. So
yeah, both of us came into the season liking Keenum. You went a step too far.
Yeah, for sure. For sure, I did.
But that was a fun one. Yeah, let's just move on from that one.
Yeah. Yeah, please. So I also had, so for the Chargers, I had Melvin Gordon as the RB3.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently the running back 5.
Which I just think he likes to be, because he seems to be 5 and 6 every single year.
Yes. Yes, that is correct. I think he's been 5 the last 2 years. Yeah, and he's actually the RB4 points per game wise, barely over Christian McCaffrey. So, but yeah, no, I think, I mean, if Gore, here's the problem. Obviously, he got injured, and he's going to be out for a couple of weeks. So that's going to impact this long term too. Like, he may not finish the season in the top three. He may not finish the season in the top five, depending on, you know, what else happens. But he's had a hell of a year.
Yes, absolutely. And we'll probably never get the respect he deserves.
Right. And then Chiefs, I had Travis Kelce finishing outside the top five tight ends. He's currently the tight end two, and I was wrong.
Yeah, you were even you went. You felt bad. I loved listening to this one. Like, you felt bad saying it. You're like, I don't like being negative. I'm not good at it. I didn't know what else to say. I couldn't think of anything. I don't really think this is going to happen. But like, you did not feel good about this from the beginning.
No, I didn't, and rightfully so. Clearly, he's a beast. So moving along, the Raiders, I had Doug Martin or Marshawn Lynch, one of the two, finishing as a running back two. And Marshawn Lynch, believe it or not, is a running back two. Is that correct?
Points per game.
He is a running back two in points per game, which is shocking. Yeah. But he hasn't played in like 7 weeks. So that's, you know. So I was
trying
right
to throw you a bone on that one.
I appreciate it. I needed a bone after those other ones. Those other ones were pretty bad for the AFC West, but
it doesn't get better for you going on.
No, it really doesn't. Seahawks. Yeah. Moving to the NFC Seahawks. I had starting the year 2-7 and Pete Carroll losing his job.
I mean, I would have been okay with that, to be fair.
They are currently 6-5 and are in competition for a wild card spot in the NFC.
And people are calling Pete Carroll a genius for doing as well as he is with the stuff he has. And oh my God, they're going to give him an extension.
Oh, definitely. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely getting an extension. So congratulations.
Okay.
It's
better than Marvin Lewis.
Indeed. 49ers. I had Dante Pettis as the third highest scoring rookie wide receiver. He's currently the wide receiver 11. So
out of rookies. Yeah. No.
Yeah, right. Out of rookies. Yeah. So nope on that one. I did get this one right so far. And I think obviously, you know, both parts of this one have a chance, a good chance here this season. For the Rams, I had Jared Goff as a top five quarterback. Mm-hmm. He is currently the quarterback five in total points, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Both.
And points per game. Okay. Yeah. And I have the Rams going to the Super Bowl. Now, I did have them losing to Jacksonville in the Super Bowl, which is obviously wrong.
Yeah, we both were on that one.
I do think the Rams, despite losing to New Orleans, I think they will beat New Orleans probably in the NFC title game and go to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Okay. Let's say. It doesn't even matter who's there. If that Super Bowl doesn't live up to that Monday night game of the Rams and the Chiefs, is it just completely wasted? Like, are you completely let down? Like, I feel like...
So, yeah, in a way. But
because if the Chiefs don't make it, there's no one else in the AFC that can do that. The Steelers are probably the next closest offense, right?
Yeah, I would think so. And from a selfish perspective, I want the Steelers to make the Super Bowl. But I have to be honest with you, if it's Kansas City and LA again, it will be the most hyped and rightfully so. I will be more excited about that Super Bowl than I've been about a Super Bowl in years. I mean, this that has the potential, obviously. I mean, we saw the game in LA, you know, on Monday night a couple of weeks ago, and it was just an unbelievable football game. And to have that happen and then have them meet again in the Super Bowl. I mean, if Pittsburgh doesn't make it from the AFC, I absolutely want Kansas City to make it. Mm-hmm. And I want the Rams to make it too. But here's the other thing. I think Kansas City and New Orleans would be an unbelievable game as
I'm down for that one too.
So I'm hoping the Steelers make the Super Bowl, but if they do not, then I do want the Chiefs, because I think regardless of, you know, hoping that one of those two NFC teams would also make it, that would be a fantastic football game. So,
yeah. So hit us up with your last one.
Yeah, so I got one left. Arizona Cardinals, I had Josh Rosen starting week one. He started in week four, and I had him, second place in rookie of the season, rookie of ROS, rookie of the year voting.
Yeah, that's not the right letters.
I might have
twice. Yeah.
Yeah, I might have put that.
No, I totally did that.
But yeah, no, I had him second in rookie year voting, which that's not going to happen. I don't know who will be second. Who do you think will be second? Think it'll be Baker? You think it'll be Lindsay? It should probably, It probably should be. I mean,
the way Baker's playing lately, if Baker did this the whole season, then maybe. But Lindsay, you know, undrafted from the beginning. I feel like it's tough for the number one overall to win rookie of the year.
You think Barkley has it wrapped up?
Who would even come close to challenging him?
I don't think on the offside. I don't think on the offensive side of the ball, there's really anybody.
You know, Barkley has the most receptions out of rookies by like 20, by 26, I think it was. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, he's fourth in rushing yards too. So all the people that were like pounding on him the last, he's had like 3 100-yard rushing games in a row, and he's up to, he trails Connor by 20 rushing yards.
Imagine if he actually had a good offensive line and a competent quarterback.
I know. It's crazy. Do you think he has a shot at 1,000 and 1,000?
This season? Yeah, I mean, if the Giants try and keep it competitive, they're not making the playoffs, so who knows what they're going to do.
If they give him more than 5 touches in the second half of football games.
There you go.
Freaking idiots.
Yeah. I love Twitter when that happens.
Well, he torched them. He torched the Eagles in the first half. Torched them. Single-handedly torched them. And then they gave him 5 touches in the second half. That makes no sense. No sense. Anyways.
That's all your takes. We're going to go into mine. And I just realized we've been recording for an hour and we're just about done, halfway done. So we're probably going to cut this up into 2 episodes. So he's giving me the okay symbol in the on the screen, just in case anyone was curious what was going on with that.
You know, you're curious.
Yeah, of course. This is public. I guess anybody really could be watching this if they wanted to, because I forgot to click private and I just don't necessarily care. We're good looking guys. We don't need to hide anything.
We are. That's right.
All right. So let's get on to my takes for the West. The Broncos, Deshaun Hamilton and Courtland Sutton will be fantasy relevant this year. And I defined that as at least wide receiver 3s. That was incorrect. Deshaun Hamilton has been in and out of injuries and barely even playing. Courtland Sutton is currently the wide receiver 65, yet is like a top 4 dynasty startup. So I'm going to take a little bit of a win on that. But yeah, they're not really helping your fantasy teams like I thought they would. I thought Sutton would have a lot more touchdowns is really what it came down to. And I thought that either Sanders or Thomas would end up getting hurt, but Thomas got traded, so that's sort of like the same thing. So I had the vibe of being correct. I'll call it a moral victory. I believe in moral victories when it comes to bull take calls. How about that? Yeah, I'll take it. Whatever makes me feel better. Yeah,
that's right.
Here's one that makes me feel better. For the Chargers, Austin Eckler will be the next Duke Johnson. A strong RB2 you can play, even though he's not the lead back in his, even though there's a sort of workhorse-ish guy in front of him, which clearly there is. Right now, Austin Eckler is the running back 22, which running back 2, baby, and he's about to get a lot more work because Melvin Gordon's out. So if you were like me and Austin Eckler was one of your most owned players, you're about in for a good playoff push. Wow, I just froze. I'm standing there staring at words. I'm like, how do I read these words? What are words? It's not even late. We're recording it like an hour earlier than we normally, 2 hours earlier than we normally do. Should be like midnight now. It's only 10 o'clock.
It's throwing you off.
It is. For the Chiefs, I said Sammy Watkins was going to outscore Tyreek Hill.
Oops.
Nope. Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 1. My bad. Raiders, Amari Cooper will be a top 6 wide receiver and then be a top 10 dynasty wide receiver. Right now, Amari Cooper is the wide receiver 30, but if he keeps scoring 40 points a game, that's going to change, my friend. Did not see that ceiling coming. I sat him in a league. Thankfully, still won, but yeah, never sitting him again because Did you see that ceiling in Dallas for him?
Yeah.
You could be honest. You saw that?
180 yards, two touchdowns on 10 catches or eight catches.
That's insane.
Is that what you're talking about? His ceiling? That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I mean,
like I was picturing Jarvis Landry's ceiling, like 12 catches for 96 yards and maybe a touchdown. I did not see. I don't get me wrong. I love it. I love seeing Amari be the Amari we remember and loved. But I did not see it coming in Dallas. I'm glad it is. If you can still buy him cheap, like if you can find someone who's willing to, who thinks this is not really who he is and wants to sell him, you go buy. If you can buy him for, he was in October, I think he was like the 30-somethingth overall dynasty asset. If you could buy him for like a fourth round startup pick, you go do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
The end of AFC West. The beginning of NFC West. Of the Seahawks, Russell Wilson will be the only player to finish at top 15 in their position. He is in the top 15. And he's the only player on the Seahawks in the top 15. Tyler Lockett is actually wide receiver 17, and I hate it. Not because I have anything against him. J.J. Zacharyson said it the best. He completely just breaks math. He should not be this efficient. It doesn't work that way. Everyone said that Kamara was supposed to regress in his touchdowns, but like he has so much more control over what he does, and man, that dude is just slippery. But like, how is Tyler Lockett catching a touchdown? It's like literally every three catches. I think it's more like every six or seven, but still, that's insane.
Right. Yeah, no, it's crazy how efficient he's been so far. Well, and you look at that offense in general. I mean, Russell Wilson's the same way. I mean, he's throwing 17, 18 passes a game most of the time, and right around 20, and he's scoring two and three touchdowns passing. So, I mean,
they've always been an efficient passing offense. It's just never been this crazy.
Yeah, it's never been this crazy. Well, Lockett is obviously benefiting from that, and so are some of these other guys. Which,
yeah, I'm turning into a David Moore fan.
Yeah, why'd you put him on your trade bait then?
I like trades.
Well done, sir. Well done.
All right. Speaking of well done, I have technically correct written next to this one. Jimmy GQ will finish outside of the QB15. Technically, I am correct.
Technically, you are.
Yeah. Poor Jimmy GQ.
Yeah, that was so sad. At least he still has his handsome looks.
Yeah, and he'll still have his job coming in because, I mean, CJ Beathard looked okay. Nick Mullins had his, what was it, 60 minutes in the sunshine, and that came crashing down. the Rams. Okay, my original take was all three wide receivers will finish top 50 because I did not think last year that Sammy Watkins finished top 50, but I believe he was actually exactly wide receiver 50, so I upped my game, and I said all three Rams wide receivers will finish as top 36 wide receivers. Right now, Robert Woods, 14. Cooks, 15. Cooper Kupp, even after missing games, 26. Now, chances are by the end of the season, Cooper Kupp is going to fall out of it, but I'm totally going to points per game this one and claim a victory on it because that was a good one. I liked it.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And he, you know, he would have finished up there had he not been injured. I mean, clearly, yeah. You know, I mean, that offense is ridiculous. And
so good.
Yeah. So no, well done on this one. I mean, I think, and they're not going anywhere either. I mean, that's thing that unfortunately Kupp, it'll probably be mid season before Kupp is back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the timing of the injury kind of stinks, for him. He probably won't be ready to go at the beginning of the year. You know, but they should have all three of them back. And I don't really see a lot changing as far as that offense goes. So,
no, yeah, that there's, I can't think of a reason that should change. Ew. All right. I don't know if this guy listens to our podcast, so I don't want to tell him how much I don't like his trade offer right now.
All right. Love getting those dings on your phone during the show. It's awesome. You always look, because who knows, you may have a breaking trade alert.
Yeah, no, not this time. All right, moving on, because we only have one left. So for the Cardinals, I said that Josh Rosen was going to start around week three. He played week three, started week four, so I'm claiming that as a victory. And I said he will form an instant connection with Christian Kirk, who will finish around wide receiver 20. Mm-hmm. Christian Kirk is technically, not technically, currently, that's the correct word to say right now, wide receiver 38. So I'll claim the L on this one. I don't think he's catching up 18 spots by the end of the season. But I still am very hopeful for the future of that one.
Yeah, yeah, and I think you have every right to be. I mean, that you know, we've chronicled my Josh Rosen, you know, love on here too, as far as moving forward goes, at the helm of that offense. And I think Christian Kirk obviously will be a big beneficiary of that. You know, Fitzgerald's not going to be around long term. You know, and DJ, while he's going to be a focal point of that offense for several years, you know, Rosen and Kirk have the opportunity to grow together in that offense. They were both drafted, obviously, in the same class. So, you know, and I think that they will develop together and hopefully establish that connection that we're reading about 5 years from now with most touchdown passes by a duo, or, you know, one of those. So, I'm very high on both of those guys moving forward as well. Obviously, they didn't do quite as well as we thought they might this year, but I think moving forward, there's a lot of, there's a lot of good things ahead. So,
yeah, I agree clearly. So, like I said at the beginning, we did not plan this out whatsoever. I couldn't really imagine how long this was going to take. We're halfway through our takes, not including the hot takes, which are a little bit extra at the end. So, and we've been going for about an hour and 10 minutes. I feel like we'll probably gain an extra 2 or 3 minutes with the amount of ums and silences we've been having, with the amount of text messages I've been getting this entire time. It's super frustrating. Don't they know we're recording now? Come on. But since this is the Trade Addicts podcast, we're going to have some Trade Addicts trades to talk about.
All right, Trade Addicts trades. Sorry, I'm off my game. Again, yeah, we're recording at a different time, so yeah, like the gone. Timing's off. Right, the soundboard hasn't warmed up the vocal cords yet, so.
Yeah, and well, I think I should have after an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah. Like, pop, buddy. Pop. I'm from Western PA. P-O-P, pop. Soda is the adjective that describes the noun pop. Now you know. Hey, I now you that. Know. Don't argue with the Yinzers, all right? We know it all.
Put don't your hand
me,
down.
Don't make me take you down, all right?
You realize I'm from Jersey, right?
Jersey.
You know what's hilarious? I had no idea there was a mob presence in New Jersey until The Sopranos came on TV. Like, did you ever see the movie Basketball?
I have, yes.
First of all, if whoever's listening has not seen Basketball, it is hilarious and hilariously relevant right now, because they make fun of how often teams move around. But they have, you know, teams that, you know, the town, the city, and they make fun of people in the city or the state. And it was the New Jersey Informants, and it was a bunch of stereotypical Italian dudes. And I'm like, I mean, it's funny, but I don't necessarily get it. Apparently I live too far south for this. So yeah, no, yeah, but I'm in the mob, man. I'm from New Jersey. I'll break your kneecaps and whatever mob people do. Yeah,
well, I'll make you drink Iron City beer, and then you will die.
I don't even
disgusting.
Know.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. Oh,
now I have to try it.
From Pittsburgh, and it's oh.
All right. Well, let's transition from gross beer to not gross trades.
Yeah.
Liked it. Actually, this first one. All right. So I this was me and Spoony. He even admitted that this is not going to go well for him on the Twitter polls. I did not look up the totals because they both happened today anyway, so they wouldn't have been full going. For Trade Addicts leagues, they are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR tight end premium with small little amount of points for return yards, though this doesn't actually affect this right now. The first one, tight end. Trade addicts one between me and Spoony. It's funny to say rebuilding when it's the first year of a league, but yeah, that team did not go well for me, and I definitely traded my way out of a better team than I had. So I'm sort of playing for next year a little bit. He has the sixth seed locked up, I believe, so he needs his playoff push. I traded him Jerick McKinnon. Nope, backwards. I traded him Gus Edwards, and he gave me Jerick McKinnon. Now, in a vacuum, is Gus Edwards the real deal? Do you care if he's the real deal? Is any running back with someone like Lamar Jackson at quarterback going to be a little valuable anyway?
I don't know. Is he the real deal? I don't know. What was the second question?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember what I said. Or does it? So, you know, does it matter because a running back with such a mobile quarterback is going to get a bit of a boost.
I think that's actually a great point. I mean, I think. You know, yeah, he's going to get some carries if they're smart to try to keep Jackson from running all the dang time. But
27 times.
I know. But yeah, I think I don't know. I don't know what to think about Gus Edwards. I really don't. I don't like to trust running backs in Baltimore.
I don't trust anyone in Baltimore.
You know, yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's going to change, though. I really do. I think Jackson is a guy that can change that offense in the way that they do business in Baltimore.
I'm excited to see who their coach is going to be next year.
Yeah, you guys keep saying that he's mutually parting with.
And then Harbaugh is going to go to the Jets. That's my call. That bold take.
And get Le'Veon Bell because he played against him for so many years and he knows what he can do.
Oh, there you go. And I mean, that technically was your bold take, but I guess we're going to get to that next week because this is taking too long.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about Gus Edwards. I think from a value standpoint, I like the McKinnon side here because I do think that he will regain. He's not ever going to. Well,
he's not going to hit 30s, 80
right,
again.
Right. He's not going to be in the 30s, at least before playing. But it is going to, you know, his ADP is going to rise again because the hype of having a guy that could possibly be a running back in a Kyle Shanahan offense, you know, is intriguing. So I think that there will be a portion of folks. There's going to be some haters, too. And the crowd that didn't like him ahead of this season is really not going to probably like him ahead of next season. Mm-hmm. But. You know, I do think he will regain some value. So I think from your standpoint, receiving McKinnon in this deal, I think he's a piece that will be flippable. I mean, I personally would absolutely flip him once he regains some of that value. But
you know me.
I do know you. So we'll see how you handle that. You know, but Edwards, I don't know. I mean, can he grab that job and run with it? If he can, it's a good
Collins
job.
Collins is hurt at this point. So who else is I mean, Tymo's not going to run the ball and Buck Allen is Buck Allen.
Yeah. So I think he's going to have it
his way into the, you know, two sweetest words in the English language, default.
Right. And I think for the rest of this season, and I think that's why Spoony did the deal, you know, for the rest of the season, he gets a running back that's going to play and going to get carries and, you know, it boosters his running back stable and, you know, hopefully he makes a push for a championship. So, you know, moving forward, I'm not sure. The other thing that could happen is Edwards could gain a lot of value here if he balls out the next couple of weeks.
And the same thing with Collins, where if they don't draft somebody, that gave Collins a pretty decent boost and
exactly
forced me to like him way too much.
Exactly. Right, so clearly, I don't have a problem with this trade. I mean, I would definitely trade Edwards for McKinnon, but I'd be looking to flip McKinnon probably pretty quickly as soon as he regains some value.
Yeah. I mean, you know me, takes on two meanings right now. It's either, you know me, I love Jet, or you know me, I love flipping things. I wish right now I could have just flipped the table. Ah! but that's not going to happen. So this was his original offer. This was his offer. He offered this to me, and I accepted it pretty much right away. I've been having a lot of offers lately that I've just been stewing over. It's really weird. This hasn't happened to me all at once before. So it was great just to be like, no, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's not like I was like, whoa, he's going to do this? It was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll do this. But reaction on Twitter seemed to be very much in the what made me rant earlier. And if they, anyone who ever actually said that that was dumb or stupid and knew who Spoonie was, then clearly they should know he's not dumb or stupid. And he's a very big dude. He could just slap the hell out of people if he really wanted to.
Spoon's a big dude.
Spoon is a big dude. Spoon dude.
I did not know that.
To be fair, I've only really seen his face, but he's a very well-structured face. So I assume the rest of
yeah,
is very big.
That's a well-structured face. Oh, man. I love it.
Make stuff up as I go along. That's why people listen.
Oh, all right. Boy.
So we foreshadowed a Manny Sanders trade. Here it is from Trade Addicts 4, which I love that there's been so many Trade Addicts 4 trades lately. So
yeah, we've had a nice run in that league. And honestly, I haven't been involved in those, which is good. I mean, I'm glad that the guys are making moves. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it's really I hate it because I'm not in Trade Addicts 4, but I'm in the chat just in case there's ever an issue because I still commission the league. And I see like who needs a wide receiver or who wants this guy. And I'm like, I do. I want to trade. Come on. And I'm not in the league to actually do anything. So if no one quits, I think we're going to kick someone out. all right. But the trade itself was a 2019 and a 2020 second for Emmanuel Sanders and a 2023rd. This is honestly 19 second for Manny Sanders to me is spot on.
Yeah. Yes. No, I agree.
So this, whatever, like the second pieces in that, again, a 2022nd, a 2023rd, whatever right now. So that doesn't really affect either way to me. If you're competing, you take Manny. If you're not competing, you take the picks. I think this was a perfect trade.
Yeah, no, I like this deal a lot. You know, I like you, I think Sanders is worth a second. Right now, you know, a 19, but I would also have no issues whatsoever for a competing team. And this gentleman is competing in this league, the guy that got Sanders. So to throw in the extra second, you know, to swap the 2020 second and third in order to secure a player like Sanders, for a run, I think it's a smart move. And I think the value's spot on. So,
all right, that is the end of our show sheet, but that is not the end of our show. It is after week 12, and the Jar Jar contest has come to an end. We're going to pick a winner live on air. Live in quotes, on air in quotes.
All right.
We had a couple of entries, a couple of ratings and reviews. Thank you for everyone who did. I hate you for everyone that did. I'm just kidding. I couldn't even finish the sentence. I love all of you. Just love me back. So here we go. Random number generator. The winner is at Real FF Advisor.
It's Brad Hesselberg.
Oh, I know that guy. Good guy. Good job, that guy. Good job, Brad. So clearly we're going to tweet about this because who knows when the hell I'm going to actually edit all this and put it out. But it was fun to do something on air. It made it feel like we actually are popular enough to run contests and have people actually listen for if they won or not.
Yeah, no, that was awesome. And Brad, you have an awesome trophy coming your way. So
yeah, I'm excited for you to get it. I love that. I'm so proud. I think I'm going to build another more of those and do more contests because they're not difficult to put together. It's just A, getting the dedication, B, getting the funny idea to do it. So I think I'm just going to stick with really obnoxious fictional characters I could buy toys of.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens when we get closer to the off. Maybe if we get closer to the end of the fantasy playoffs, I could throw one together real quick. Cool. So tweet at me some ideas who you think should be on a losing trophy. I will not make winner trophies because those need to be big and pretty, and I'm not good enough for that. I had my friend help. We had the shredder. It was a two-tiered thing with a golden shredder toy and turtle shells spray-painted gold. It was... But I sanded and and finished it. I didn't actually drill and put anything where it's supposed to go. It's easy when a trophy is supposed to look bad.
Well, the Jar Jar looks pretty sweet, so.
All right. Well, now that is the end of our show. So that is the end of our show. No, that is actually the end of our show. I have nothing else to talk about. Go check out Brian's rankings on DLF because he never remembers to say anything about it. Add him when he's wrong, that you feel he's wrong. Even if he's right, just add him and tell him he's wrong anyway. Give this man some more Twitter interaction. I don't know how much interaction he has. I just wanted to get more.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I definitely want that. I mean, I know, you know, I've been trying to answer some more questions and jump into these conversations, but tag me in your trade polls. Tag me in your questions. I'd be more than happy to help any way that I can. And just remember, if I give bad advice, it's because I've talked to Russ too long.
Truth.
And no, I'm just teasing on that one too. But no, seriously, I love interacting with the community and any way that if you think I can help, ask me and I'll do the best I can to do so.
Yeah. Trade Addicts Podcast, all the credit, none of the blame.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I know I have the fancy, stupid Twitter handle, but this guy's the brains. Go at him.
Oh, well, thank you.
Wow. Dude, again, I just like caught myself like staring at the cursor on the freaking screen. Just like, I should be talking right now, but I'm just going to look at this cursor and see if it moves on its own. Thankfully, it didn't move on its own. That would have been weird, like a Ouija board kind of thing.
We're actually going to get some sleep tonight. Maybe. If our kids let us sleep. Or if your wife doesn't put you back to work.
No, it is 10:20. She is not putting me back to work. I hear her walking around upstairs. I'm in trouble, guys.
I am too, so it's all good.
All right. On that note, thank you for stopping in for the Trade Addicts Podcast, a DLF family podcast. What other things am I supposed to say? Well, my wife says all the other important stuff. So, I mean, I say good night, Brian, but like, we're not going to sleep right now.
No, probably not.
All right. So, hey, see you later.
All right. Later, dude.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts Podcast. You can follow the pod on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Zion Scout House and at Brian Hart. Please remember to subscribe.